follow the messages on screen to listen to the audio that information becomes available. This station will now see you on screen.
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast. Here are your hosts, Cam and Kobe.
Cam, did you like that little countdown I did before I started? I've never done that before. We're like getting ready and I'm like, 3, 2, 1, go.
It's become official finally.
Yeah, I've never done that, but here we are. It's never too late to start new things.
No.
How goes it?
It's going.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good.
We had a little division last night.
Oh, we did. We played some division. Yep, it was fun. Yep.
This was a closed private session.
It was,
we didn't let anybody in.
We let nobody in. We used curse words, and we talked about our wives.
We didn't even talk. We were just serious. Yeah, we got missions done.
Yeah, that was basically, it was all a lie.
We need to break that one up into the highlights. Mm-hmm. I need to do that.
Yeah, you do.
There's just no way. I don't have good editing
Lazy
software.
Lazy turd. That's what you are. What are we doing today?
We're going to scare the pants off of you guys.
Yeah, you will be wearing no pants after this.
So we're teaming up for the conspiracy this time.
Yeah, we are.
We're tag teaming this sucker.
We're double teaming this sucker.
We're going to sandwich this conspiracy in between us.
It's a skinwalker sandwich. Sounds good. It's like a goat gravy sandwich.
Oh, dang. Don't bring that up right now. I'm hungry.
It's lunchtime.
Yeah, we figured where we had mentioned in the last mindless banter episode. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit. Somebody's like, why don't you guys talk more about skinwalkers? And then we're like, why don't we talk more about skinwalkers?
Hell, that was a good suggestion. That's what we said.
We live so close to it.
Yeah.
It's an everyday thing for us. Yeah, skinwalkers crossing the
skinwalker
jaywalking and stuff.
Yeah, Maverick in the morning when we get our breakfast burritos.
I about hit two on the way here today.
Yeah.
So it's dear and close to our hearts here.
Yeah.
The Uinta Basin.
So we're going to talk about what a skinwalker is. We're going to talk about also Skinwalker Ranch is going to be a big piece of this.
And we've got some sighting stories that are
delicious.
They're going to scare you.
Yeah. First, guys, though, today's podcast is brought to you by Sawyer Products. They are the leader in outdoor protection. From the backcountry to the backyard, Sawyer offers a line of top-rated insect repellents, water filters, sunscreens, and first aid products. With the rising prevalence of tick and other insect-borne illnesses, stay protected with Sawyer's line of family and gear-safe insect repellents, including their permethrin fabric treatment, which is 100% odorless after drying, and repels and kills mosquitoes and ticks for 6 weeks.
On contact.
Over 6 washes. On contact. The treatment does not harm any fabrics or finishes and can be applied to clothing, gear, and a variety of other fabrics. If you need water filtration, Sawyer recently introduced the Micro Squeeze water filter, which is rated up to 100,000 gallons. You can't drink that much in a couple of days, Cameron. Their full-size squeeze filter comes with a lifetime warranty. Last year, over 4 million people got clean water through a Sawyer water filter. Go to SawyerSafeTravel.com and use our code CPREP19. That's SawyerSafeTravel.com. Use our code CPREP19, and you're going to get 20% off your entire order. And that is a deal, if I've ever seen one.
It is a deal.
It is a deal. So go check them out, guys.
Do it. Go right now.
So, Cam, we're talking about skinwalkers.
I want to do this real quick.
Okay, good.
So, Kobe usually gives you some funny news.
Oh, yeah.
And we couldn't find any good stuff.
Yeah.
I got this. News this morning. I'm like, I gotta share it.
Good, fantastic.
So, in New York, dozens of New York City ice cream trucks were seized.
Oh, I saw something about this.
Yeah, tons of them.
Uh-huh.
Freeze! Justice was soft served Wednesday when nearly 50 ice cream trucks were seized by the city in Queens over an alleged multi-million-dollar ticket avoidance scheme.
What?
Yeah. So, New York ice cream founder Dimitrios Tsirkos.
Oh, yeah, that dude. Yeah.
Was Long Island City Company, and his Long Island City Company has been locked in a bitter turf war with Mr. Softy. So I guess there's some
that's what they used to call you in high
crazy
school.
Crazy stuff. 76 treat
mobile treats
that owe a combined $4.5 million for 22,495 unpaid summonses. Racked up between 2009 and 2017.
Holy fudge.
The tickets mostly issued in Midtown are for offenses including speeding, running red lights, and illegally using bus lanes. They're just getting that ice cream out there as fast as they can.
Wow.
But it was like The vehicles are being held in the sheriff's office custody.
Yeah.
And the owners face a rocky road to get them
going,
back.
I was going there.
That's a good one, huh?
That was good, yeah.
They'll have to pay off the mound of summonses topped with a sprinkling of additional fines, a law department spokesman said.
Wow.
But, yeah, that's a lot of freaking trucks, man.
That is a freaking ton. That's so crazy.
Only one article, but that was worthy of getting on here and talked about all those...
Yeah.
Poor New York people aren't going to get their ice cream this summer. It's going to be...
Feel bad for them.
Yep.
I do.
I'm sure that Mr. Sophie's like, woohoo!
I know he is. He's probably the perpetrator of this whole scheme. He figured it out, man.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Well, so...
His Majesty is like ice cream trucks is busting through red lights and driving in bus lane.
They don't care about nobody. yeah, so today, guys, skinwalkers. We're going to talk about skinwalkers. We're going to talk about Skinwalker Ranch.
We're going to do it.
So let's just freaking get into it, Cam. I want to know.
Let's get deep into it.
What is a skinwalker?
All right. So skinwalker, in the Navajo language.
I think it's pronounced Navajo.
Navajo.
Yeah.
The word Yi Naudalushi translates Yi Nahalushi, I don't know how to say it. Translates to by means of it goes on all fours. It goes on all fours.
Sure.
So basically, a skinwalker is described as like a half human, but there's like a lot of different definitions of it.
Yeah.
For the most part, the most simple thing is that it's a animal that kind of takes the, well, a human that takes the form of an animal.
Right. Yeah.
And stalks, and some people say it only walks on 2 feet. Other people, it looks just like a wolf or a deer. But
you see that deer? It's not a deer. That's a skinwalker.
Yeah.
I mean.
So anyway, here's some facts about what a skinwalker is. A skinwalker, these are traits that I found throughout the internet. A skinwalker is a person with the ability to transform into any different type of animal at will.
Any animal?
Any animal.
Like
coyotes, wolves, foxes, eagles, owls, or even cows or crows.
What about like a whale?
Yeah, maybe.
You know what I mean? Suddenly there's a whale.
This pretty sure confirms their skinwalkers. I saw a whale and a manatee out in the middle
Did you see that an article? Like there was a whale found somewhere in the middle of the jungle or something?
Oh, no joke.
That's not a joke. Somebody, I'd have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure that happened.
I'm going to shape. Oh, wrong animal.
No, nah. Shapeshifter. Be a lizard, damn it.
And killed himself.
Yeah.
Some can also steal the faces of different people and could appear as someone you know.
Mm.
And a lot of the stories I read were that they can like mimic the voice of somebody you know.
Oh.
So like you hear hooves coming up behind you and all of a sudden, hey, Cal. You working tomorrow? You turn around, they're gone.
Yeah. Ooh.
So skinwalker, like I said, translates to he who walks on all fours in the Navajo language. And a lot of times it was, the Navajos don't like talk about it.
No, it's not.
They don't
like,
really
it's
like
a dinner conversation.
Outsiders, you know, probably for various reasons because of a-holes like us.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it was like a tale told to kids and stuff.
It's a tale as old as time.
Tail is old. And then some other things is they use their power. If their powers weren't enough, they're said to be able to run incredibly fast and long distances. Like some of them may cover 200 miles in one evening.
That's quite a jaunt.
Yeah.
Wow.
Skinwalkers have a tendency to hang around graveyards and pick and dig up graves at possibly fast speeds. these are facts that I'm just like, wow,
just
these are a little
okay.
extreme.
Yeah.
Then many forms that a lot of times they make like animal sounds, obviously.
Yeah.
And can howl like wolves and tap their hoofs like deer. I don't know.
Tap their hooves like deer.
And then they can apparently you can kill a skinwalker if you call them by their true human name.
That's something.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, what a skinwalker is basically a human that can possess or change into any form of an animal. The Navajos kind of don't really like them in their culture because, you know, the Navajo people are like healing and medicine,
yeah.
and where this is the opposite. This is like a witch.
Unhealing and unmedicine.
Yeah.
Bad things.
Scary, scary.
Yeah, so it's basically they say it's like a witch, right? It's like a witch doctor.
Yeah, it's like witchcraft. They turn into, so they're bad for the most part.
No bueno.
Skinwalker stories told among the Navajo children may be complete life and death struggles that ended near skinwalker or Navajo killing each other or one another or just a stalemate.
Sure.
So that's where the stories kind of came from. Wendigo or what is it? Wendigo and Wendigo. There's two
I don't know
ways you say it. That's another like shape shifting.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Not a skinwalker. I think it's a whole another tribe or something.
Oh, okay.
But you've heard of the Wendigo, haven't you?
I don't think so.
It's kind of the same. Kind of the same deal, but I shouldn't say that to offend.
You should, yeah.
Like skinwalkers are skinwalkers. Wendigo.
They're different things.
Different thing, yeah. But similar in traits.
None of this is to offend any Indian tribe, by the way.
No. This is a real deal. I mean,
cool stories.
Full on conspiracy and sightings and everything. So
yeah. So skinwalkers, you know, obviously lead us to Skinwalker Ranch, and mostly because it's right next to where we live. It's literally 25 minutes away, and we could be at Skinwalker Ranch.
So I've lived in Utah, you know, pretty much my whole life, and I've never heard of Skinwalker Ranch.
Isn't that weird?
And we
I've been out of the state before, and I've told people where I live, and they're like, oh my gosh, that's right by Skinwalker Ranch. And I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it is a thing that people know about, and it's right next to us. So let's talk about it. So Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah.
So why
this is a little more than just Skinwalker,
right? Yeah, it is. Yeah. So where is it, and why is it famous? So basically, it's Skinwalker Ranch. It's also known as Sherman Ranch sometimes to some people, because those were some of the
tanks were built there, right?
Yeah, they built tanks there. The property is like 512 acres, and it's southeast of Ballard, Utah. And if you know where Ballard,
not even that big, you know?
No. It's not. I mean, yeah. So it's allegedly the site of Paramount and UFO related paranormal, not Paramount, not like the movie.
They make movies there?
They do. That's where such Indiana a small Jones area was made.
So many things.
Paranormal and UFO related activities. Where did I
see,
get
I'd
Paramount?
See, I never heard about Utah being like a UFO.
Oh my gosh.
Site.
When I started.
But that's like the big thing, right?
It was more UFO related than anything else.
Yeah, the Skinwalker thing's like part of it, but it seemed like this is more the controversy.
So why is it called Skinwalker Ranch? I was listening to something somewhere about it because I couldn't find anything online.
Yeah, why is it?
So originally in the area, it's a reservation over there, right? A lot of people don't know that. It's an Indian reservation. But originally, way back in the day, it was several Indian tribes. There was the Utes and there were the Navajo. There was actually Navajo in this area.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so, and then when the white men came, I think it was like originally Spanish people that were here. They were doing a lot of slave trade. So they'd actually kidnap Indians and then they go and sell them in the slave trade or use them for hard labor and different things like that. But apparently the local tribe here, the Ute tribe, was doing the same thing. They were kidnapping Navajo and other Indian and putting them into the slave trade. So the Navajo said, hey, there's no bueno. And then they actually put the curse of the Skinwalker on them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's
never
what
heard
I,
that.
I don't know if that's true, but that's something
that
I
sounds
heard.
Good.
Yeah. And so, obviously, with this ranch being like really like right on the edge of that reservation, and at one point it probably was reservation. That's why they call it Skinwalker Ranch.
And nobody knows really what goes on in reservations,
exactly.
Right?
Nobody does. So let's look at the history of this ranch. 1880. This is kind of where some of it, you know, started. Several bands of Ute tribes were relocated by the government onto the reservation surrounding Skinwalker Ranch. Like a lot of the area next to us, where Cam and I live,
yeah,
is a reservation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then 1906 to 1911, there was some crazy stuff that started happening in the area. Underground rumblings and explosions are heard both day and night around the ranch. There's actually an article in the newspaper.
So they were already blasting and oiling.
They were at that
the oil rigs at
they
that
were drilling.
Time.
But yeah, but there's articles in the papers from way back then talking about like everybody that
weird,
was living there.
Really?
Yeah, that was hearing it in the middle of the night, these big rumbles and like.
It's gotta be tremors.
I don't know what it was.
Like.
But it was from 1906 to 1911 that it was happening.
That's crazy.
1905, the first Skinwalker Ranch settlers built a small homestead on the property, which is now basically gone as dilapidated. They did report one strange occurrence of a strange visitor to the property, a story so amazingly apparent that it was apparently it was passed down to future generations. So
everybody, do you have that story?
I don't have that story. I couldn't find that one, which is odd. But it was part of the lore of I don't know. And then 1944, 2 miles from Skinwalker Ranch, a large silver globe-like object is seen flying over Fort Duchesne.
Yeah, and I'd seen a couple of things talking about that.
Yes.
Instance.
Mm-hmm. And then 1950s and the 1960s, Junior Hicks, which was this dude that lived in the area, was a
Junior
big,
Hicks.
Old Junior Hicks. He was a big UFO dude, so he was like, you know, really kind of investigating a lot of this stuff and giving it to the newspapers and things like that. They report a surge in UFO reports in the Uinta Basin. However, Skinwalker Ranch itself historically has little to no recorded activity, which is kind of weird, right? However, of note, the ridgeline directly behind Skinwalker Ranch was given the nickname Werewolf Ridge, and it's been there for centuries, but they don't know why it was called that.
Because walking wolves.
That's something. Then in 78, Deseret News article discusses a mass sighting of UFO seen 10 miles from the ranch. And wow. So there's these are articles that, yeah. And then 1994, so let's go all the way to 1994, Terry and Gwen Sherman and their children moved themselves and their cattle into the 480-acre ranch south of Fort Duchesne, Utah. So in 1994, that land was worth like nothing. Like there was nothing out there. There wasn't even oil going on at that point. It was like really
still
huge
looked
downturn.
Like nothing.
Yeah. 1996, Deseret News article broke the story about strange activity on Skinwalker Ranch again. And then again in 1996, weeks after the Deseret News article post, I know, billionaire Robert Bigelow bought Skinwalker Ranch for $200,000, and he moved.
It says Skinwalker Ranch.
Is that what it said? Skinwalker, yeah. Sorry about that.
Little typo.
And he promptly moves his NIDS team.
$200,000 he bought all that in 96?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. The land wasn't worth crap. That's 500 acres or so. For $200,000.
Rich Skinwalker.
I know.
Grazing land.
Exactly. He promptly moved his NIDS team of scientists onto the ranch. That's National Institute for Discovery Science. And then in 2007, so they were from there for
Bill Nye's part of that.
He is, yeah. 2007, an unnamed agent from the DIA, which is the Defense Intelligence Agency, contacts Bigelow and requests to see the ranch in person. Bigelow obliges, and the agent has a personalized close encounter on the ranch. So he then reports his experience to his superiors, which was the initial catalyst for Senator Harry Reid's appropriating $22 million for the study of Skinwalker Ranch. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Let's just use all of our money.
Well, we got a bunch of millions of dollars left over.
Find out what's going on there.
What's going on out there? Let's figure it out. Yeah. So then in 2012, on February 12th, all the power is knocked out in Fort Duchesne. A strange, eerie green glow ebbs in the sky above the town. With the sudden absence of power, a massive UFO is seen by multiple witnesses.
2012?
Yeah. The article's there from the Uinta Basin Standard. You can see it if you click on it.
What the freak?
I know, dude. But reading the article, it actually says when the power went out, it was because a transformer blew.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And so they
all
said
right.
That exploded, and it was like overcast, so it showed like this weird glow when it exploded. So that,
how do so many people see it?
I don't know. That's what Moon Lake says. Moon Lake Electric over there. They said it was because
Moon
of that.
Moon Lake. Come on, Moon Lake.
Moon Lake. Yeah, exactly. So and then
they were paid off.
Yeah. And then 2016, Skinwalker Ranch was sold for the rumored amount of $4.5 million to an undisclosed buyer who operates under the corporation Adamantium Holdings.
Hey, that's like, isn't that the same skeleton that Wolverine's made up of?
I have no idea.
Adamantium.
Is it? Yeah. Could be, yeah.
Jeez, we got no wonders.
I know. So then in 2016,
X-Men bought it, basically.
The BASS. The Bigelow Aerospace Advanced Space Studies.
Why didn't they just put a D in there? That would have been badass.
Done that. Idiots.
The BASS.
That's an opportunity lost for those guys.
Yeah,
it could have
been the Bigelow Aerospace Dynamic Advanced Space Studies. Then it would be the badass.
That was so awesome. Those guys are idiots.
Dummies.
So they're assumed to be disbanded as their security team is removed from the property and replaced by new ownership security forces. Yeah.
I want a badges.
Badass.
Oh, I work for the Bigelow Aerospace Dynamic Advanced Space Studies.
So, unlike the previous guards who carried pistols and mace, the newly installed team now wields long guns. So, the team.
Oh, like rifles?
Like rifles.
I think I saw pictures of that.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
So, and this is what I was talking about
something
before.
Scared him.
In 2016, again, Hickens Road, which is the public road that transverses directly through and across Skinwalker Ranch, is legally vacated. All access to the road leading to the ranch becomes closed to the public. A checkpoint is erected, as well as a large sign warning the public not to approach the gate. This was 3 years ago. Wow. This happened, Cameron.
That's crazy.
Okay, in 2017, this is the last thing I have. The New York Times releases a bombshell story in which the Department of Defense officially confirms the government-funded program known as the Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program. Senator Harry Reid confirmed his role in procuring funds, which was the $22 million we talked about, which was awarded to Robert Bigelow and his Bigelow Advanced Space Studies, which was badass, team to study the phenomena at... at Skinwalker Ranch. Luis Elizondo, an ex-intelligence officer with 20-plus years of experience, was put in charge of the program and has spoken extensively to the media regarding his role observing and documenting the exotic unidentified craft and even a collection of exotic alloys and artifacts presumably from Skinwalker Ranch. Can you believe this is happening right there?
Yeah, this is like... This is way more information than I had any idea was going on there.
Yeah.
And to have like people... And to have money thrown at it.
$22 million.
Obviously, yeah. The government is always interested in like anything to do with space and technology and getting ahead. So,
yeah,
it's kind of scary.
It
it's
is
like
crazy, isn't
there,
it?
There's enough evidence and garbage there that they're like, why don't you go out there and check it out?
Exactly.
Here's $22. Go and find out.
Change. There you go.
Yeah, you kids go have fun.
Let's talk about some of the things that have actually happened on the ranch.
Yeah.
So the first signs that they saw something was different about the place were when they found large... Are you looking at the stuff below?
Yeah, I'm reading some of those.
I know, don't read it. That they found... They're...
Dogs run. Okay.
Yeah. They found large circular impressions, which the Shermans kept finding in their pastures. One configuration formed a 30-foot triangle.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of imprints. Still, they're finding, yeah.
Exactly. Other circles were found measuring roughly 3 feet wide and 1 to 2 feet deep. The soil inside the holes was firmly impacted. About this time, Terry began having trouble with the prize breeding herd of cattle. Cows were dying under unexplained circumstances. So this is a big part of...
Yeah, the animal mutilations.
The animal mutilations. Mutilations!
it's weird, too, the pictures. Like, they just like got stripped, almost like a fish. You know how it like, strips everything off. There's just ribs
Have
and
you seen
spine.
Some of the ones where they clean out their butthole? This is weird, man. We'll talk about that in a minute.
But.
Yeah. I know.
In April,
In April of 95, the weirdness dramatically escalated.
Well, yeah, just like you commented.
While checking his cattle one evening, Terry saw a silent glowing object pass over a 50-foot tall stand of poplar trees that fringed one of their fields. A few days later, Gwen saw another unexplained flying object. It looked like headlights, but they were a little ways away from the craft. It just lit the whole side of the mountain up like it was broad daylight. Terry started examining his odd cattle deaths more closely. The first cow found dead and shortly after the UFO sighting showed only a hole in the center of its left eyeball. That's weird. Just a little hole in the center of its left eyeball. That's the only thing it saw. Predators had not touched the carcass, and Sherman noted a chemical smell in the vicinity. A short time later, a second cow was found dead with the same hole in its left eyeball. With both of these animals, Terry had taken a wire and inserted it into the hole to gauge its depth. In both cases, the wire slipped in easily to the center of the brain.
What? That's terrifying.
I know.
I've never heard this.
Yeah. So also during this time, some of the Sherman's cows started disappearing. As Terry said, we contacted everyone around. We looked everywhere. They just vanished. In a rare occurrence, the Sherman son found a mutilated cow within 5 minutes of its death. The young man had seen the gentle Angus eating peacefully and returned moments later to find it dead. The cow's rectum had been cored out with a 6-inch wide hole that was 8 inches deep.
Holy freak.
Aliens
are freaky. What the crap?
So... Yeah, six.
Like the eyeball one makes you wonder if he's like, is it dead? And poked a hole in its eyeball.
I mean, weird.
Look at that weird hole in its eye.
Just got freaked out and just said it was aliens.
There's another one.
How am I going to explain this?
Oh, aliens. Look at there's two pokes right through its eyeball, right into the brain.
Yeah.
Only that's super bizarre, though.
Yeah, dude.
I didn't hear that. I didn't see that story anywhere.
So this next one, tell you.
Yeah, that one I read.
It took me, okay. So
I got to hear this
one. The headline of this story is Blue Balls Attack, Dog Turns to Butter.
Turn to butter, huh?
Yeah.
I got to hear this.
So another eerie phenomena soon began to plague the Shermans. The family started noticing glowing blue balls moving around the property. The balls gave off a crackling sound, seemed intelligently controlled. and could either hover.
Well, that looks like it hurts.
Or move unbelievably fast. One evening, the Shermans watched as a blue ball approached one of their horses. The light hovered within a foot of the horse's face, spooking it mightily. From a distance of 10 feet, Gwen shined a flashlight on the blue globe, and it retreated. It then approached Terry as if inspecting him. Terry described it as a glass ball about the size of a baseball, which appeared to contain two blue fluids, which intermingled with each other.
What does that mean?
As Terry told me with a slight tremble in his voice, "That was the scariest I've ever been in my life." I was trying to sound like Terry there.
"That's the scariest I've ever been in my life." Well, I guess the hovering blue balls over the animals explains the 8-inch gauge butthole.
Kind of does, doesn't it? So later that evening, the dreaded blue ball returned, and I've been here before. the time it hovered in the face of a cow. This time it hovered in the face of a cow.
Again. Tormenting the cow.
I know. Like, you know what's going to happen next.
That's odd.
Again, the globe retreated and the Sherman's
three... Why is blue like always the eeriest color? Like know, the, you blue. Know, like red scary, yeah. Yeah. But blue's like, it's weird.
It's just, yeah, it's just weird.
What is that?
It's blue.
Green's like, well, that's fine. Let's go.
Oh, yeah, it's good. Green.
That's yellow, good. Caution. But blue's just weird.
Exactly. So later that evening, the dreaded blue ball returned, this time hovered in the face of a cow. Again, the globe retreated and the Sherman's three dogs... After some coaxing, took off chasing it in a snarling, hot pursuit. This is getting sexy. Gwen and Terry watched as the dogs followed the glowing globe into the wooded area. They lost sight of the ball and then heard a piercing yelp. The three dogs did not return. Deciding that distraction was the better part of valor, the Shermans decided to wait until morning to investigate. The next day, Gwen and Terry found three burned circles in the woods. In the center of each circle, they discovered a greasy blob of what looked like shortening or butter.
Crisco.
Yeah. The trees above the burned rings also had scorched appearances. According to Terry, the grass eventually grew back, but the tree limbs died. The butter-eyed dogs were the final straw for Gwen and Terry. "We just couldn't go on without our dogs," Terry said.
After all the other, like the gauge
buttholes. "You could bore out my cow's buttholes all day long, but you butter-eyed my dogs, I'm done."
Screw this place. Screw this.
I'm done with this place. Terry said,
"You can hover your balls over my place.
You take your blue balls and go somewhere else.
But when you deal with my dog."
So feeling that they could no longer guarantee the safety of their children, they decided to call it quits. They would have put the place up for sale and leave the hellish ranch.
Wow, that is crazy.
Yeah, so that's kind of where a lot of it started, and that's when the government started coming in and figuring out where are these blue balls and butter dogs and whatnot. You gotta figure this out.
We're the butter dog investigation team.
The BDIT's here.
Man, that's so bizarre.
Like, it's crazy, isn't it?
You know, and I have talked to people that, like, here that live in the basin, mm-hmm. like their brother or their uncle, and they've had to pass, like, by those areas.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them have said, maybe it's because of the stories, but at the same time, they're like...
It's creepy.
It's really eerie. Like, mm-hmm. you feel weird there, and you feel like there's just, like, this negative... feeling about mm-hmm. the place. So
yeah.
I don't know what that's all about.
I don't either, but that's Skinwalker Ranch. And I would love to get access
that's
to Skinwalker
insane,
Ranch.
That's insane, man. That's insane.
Dude. But let's talk about skinwalkers in
general.
Yeah,
so some of the stories that I found were more skinwalker sightings.
Yeah.
And not just here. I mean, these happen all over the world, apparently. Mm-hmm. Pretty surprised. So a Flagstaff woman claimed that one night while driving across the Navajo Reservation land about 60 miles an hour, apparent shapeshifters started running alongside a car. "Hey, what are you doing over here?
How fast are we going?"
And they tapped on her window, darted in front of her car and disappeared off the road.
Of course they tapped
on her. That was just a
window.
Really quick little... thing that happened to this lady.
Why would they tap on her window?
I don't know.
I was saying, like, what's the speedometer say? How quick am I going?
How fast am I running?
Did I get 60?
All right. Gone. Another man reported a virtually identical experience while driving near Sedona. This type of roadside encounter, which has also been reported around Winslow and Window Rock, is by far the most commonly recorded form of modern skinwalker account. Mm. Frequently, they are said to let loose a volley of screeching laughter as they torment motorists.
That's freaky.
Tap, tap, tap. Boom, they're gone. Oh, but they're guessing they're not harmful.
Yeah.
So I listened to a couple different like little podcasts and some YouTube videos talking about some stories that had made their way around to the public. One of them was about a young girl in Michigan. She had submitted her story about being like kind of in the backwoods. And she said, we were driving with my family up to a cabin. And she's like, I remember coming around the corner and they saw this huge buck. And she's mm-hmm. like, you know, I've seen animal like a buck and deer. And this one was just of abnormal size. And it just had a really weird shape to it. It's just like, it mm-hmm. looked all like funky. Mangly. Yeah. And she said that its eyes, instead of being on the side, were like more in the front, like looking straight. So either it was a super deformed deer, but she's like, I had this most unsettling feeling. And they headed back to the cabin that night, and the group of them slept on the floor in sleeping bags, just as a family. And she woke up in the middle of the night, had to go to the bathroom, and she saw standing outside the window this really tall figure that was a humanoid form looking at them while they were sleeping.
Jeez.
And she was like, freaked out, and she went to the bathroom, was like trying to find something to like defend herself, and came back out, and she's like, I had this feeling that something could just come in and hurt me, and I was able to go back to sleep. The next day, I went out, you know.
She'll wake anybody up?
No.
What the hell's wrong with
her? I don't know. So that's already right
there. I'm going to share in that fear, I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, me too. I'd be kicking everybody in the face. Look at that! Anyway, in the morning, this is what I like. This is like total werewolf. She's like, I went around the back of the cabin by herself again.
Of course.
And there was a man in torn denim jeans.
What?
Just looked really odd. And he started to come up towards her. And he almost looked disfigured, like his skin didn't fit on him.
Oh, no.
Like he was wearing somebody else's skin. And he got up closer to her and then disappeared.
Your skin's hanging off your
and
bones.
And she said when she turned around, the cabin was gone too.
What the?
And she had to walk through the woods, ended up like one of the neighbor's places, and she somehow had been like teleported 2 miles.
What the
Anyways,
crap?
There was a couple of cases of this, like, or this story had been spread among different sites and stuff. Yeah. I was like, what the crap? What was the other one I was getting? There's a couple of them. Some of them aren't quite as interesting, but a lot of them see this figure like out amongst their cattle and mm-hmm. hear it, and it's usually like bright yellow eyes. Some say they're red eyes, but I don't know. But this one, this Northern Idaho one, this guy lives up in Northern Idaho, and he reported that he usually when he gets home from work, he'll go hiking or he'll go up fishing. He's kind of in a remote area. He started finding on the trail these weird prints that looked like hooves and hooves. Hooves.
How do you say it?
Hooves or hooves?
Hooves or hooves.
And paw prints, like almost right along with mm-hmm. it, like right in the same track. And he's like, oh, that's weird. Must be tracking it or walking. Yeah. And then he realized like they weren't separate in any like way. When it turned and it walked in the same prints. Either this wolf was having a fun time hopping and not trying to trip. But he followed him and he said he started noticing each time he went on the hikes that they were getting closer and closer to his property. And then he started noticing them around like his garbage and stuff. And he was like kind of freaked out. And he said, I typically carried a .44 pistol with me just because, you know, out in the wilderness, you never know what you're going to encounter.
Yeah.
And he said one day he got up in the morning and he looked out and he saw something rummaging through his trash. And he went out side to look closer at it, and it turned and looked at him, had yellow eyes, and it stared for a long time, and it started to come towards him. And he said, luckily I had my .44 on it, and I shot it 5 times in the chest.
Oh my gosh.
And it roared and ran off to never be seen again. And he was like, he had asked like people, did anybody know what this is? Have they ever seen it before? Uh-huh. And so that's one sighting.
Wow, that's crazy.
And here's another good story here. This person had submitted their story and said, my uncle is Mexican and Native American. This happened in the Mojave Desert in Southern California. He was driving around with his girlfriend late at night in the Mojave Desert.
Hello.
And they saw something that looked like a huge black dog on the side of the road. He slowed down and the dog began crossing the road. Instead of walking like a normal dog would, this thing moved like a toy rocking horse. I don't know what that means. Is it like...
like
its legs are stiff, so it's like... And he said it stopped in the middle of the road and stared right at them, and its eyes had a red glow.
This one's
and he
red.
Said, my uncle's the most badass person I know, and it scared the crap out of him.
I like that.
That's the end of the story.
Oh, that, well, that's something there. Jeez. Yeah. Yeah, those are scary, man.
So there's actually a lot of sightings. You can not just here in the U.S. There's some.
They're all over.
So apparently, skinwalkers are known to torment people across the whole entire world,
not just in the United States.
Yeah.
So there's also, if you guys are really interested, especially in the Skinwalker Ranch stuff, there's a pretty...
You should have played the trailer for this, because it's pretty intense.
Yeah, there's a pretty newish documentary that was just made called The Hunt for the Skinwalker. And so basically,
did you end up watching it?
I didn't.
Oh, I want to watch it now.
Haven't. We should watch it though. Yeah.
We should make our wife watch it with us.
Yeah, we should. So you can find it on like Amazon or something. But yeah.
It was on iTunes if you wanted to rent it. So.
But there's some weird people in it. There's that Robbie Williams. Do you know? You remember him?
I saw
that. I'm like, what the hell?
What's he doing in there?
Why is Robbie Williams
in
there?
He's got a Skinwalker song coming out soon.
He must. Yeah. Skinwalker pop is what he
calls
it.
He's pretty funny too. Like, it's weird. He's like, what are you doing out here?
Yeah, it's interesting. But yeah, so I thought that was crazy.
Did he come to Skinwalker Ranch?
I think he did, yeah.
Oh, man.
I know.
We missed it.
I know. That's what I'm saying. We missed it. Anyways, that's the Skinwalker.
Yeah. So I figured at the end of this, I should release some information that could help everyone.
Oh, we're going to release it? I didn't know we were going to.
We're going to. I'm going to give it to you guys. This is the prepper tip.
Mm-hmm.
How to survive a Skinwalker encounter. So this Navajo student that was interviewed in 1977, and I have no resources or any way of proving that this
happened.
But we know
that it was 1977.
But it was on the internet.
Yeah.
And it said, in 1977, this Navajo student, I don't know if he's a student of a Navajo or he was a Navajo, he said, if you ever see the skinwalker, just stand up to him. If you show him you're scared, man, he'll kill you. If you stand up to him and stare at him, he won't hurt you.
Interesting.
But a lot of people say if you stare at them, then that's when you're vulnerable. I don't know.
So you eat.
But this was apparently from a Navajo student. I'm assuming a Navajo bloodline person. So you just puff up your chest and stare at it. And
if anybody has some good information on that, let us know.
How to survive it, yeah.
If anybody's going to encounter one, it's going to be Cam and I.
Yeah,
we live right next to the ranch.
We need to go searching.
We really do. We need to get over there.
Kind of scared to.
I know. You know,
obviously there's some weird crap.
Yeah. You know when Joe Rogan used to do his show like on the Sci-Fi Channel?
Mm-hmm.
He was out at Skinwalker Ranch.
Was he really?
Yeah, he came to Skinwalker Ranch and did a show.
No freaking kidding.
Yeah. No this joke.
Is a popular place.
No. But anyways, that's Skinwalkers, guys. Before we leave, Cam, did you know that most subscription boxes are full of samples and junk you'll never use?
Yeah.
Did you?
I did.
But do you know which one isn't that way?
BattleBox.
Yeah, that's right. It's a monthly subscription box for men full of solid gear for adventure seekers, survivalists, outdoor enthusiasts, and casual preppers. Each month, BattleBox sends you the coolest selection of hand-picked outdoor survival and everyday carry gear, all valued at more than what you'd normally pay. You never know what's in the next box, but here's a sampling of what you, users received this month. And actually...
You get some teasers.
You do. The box that just came out, it just shipped like today or yesterday.
I just looked at it. I watched it.
Oh my gosh. So what were some of the items in there? There was that tent. Really cool tent.
The tent is awesome. It's like a teepee.
Yeah.
Oh, it's sweet. Yeah. And then they have a really fancy buck knife. That's the pro.
Oh yeah, the buck knife.
And it's super nice.
And they have the tripwire.
It's got a hilt.
Yeah, it does. It's great. It's sharp. yeah, it has the tripwire.
Yeah,
stuff. It's got
has a like a, it's weird. It looks like a fan blade that folds out.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
a light.
That
LED
light, the
light.
Solar light. Yeah, so many cool things. You know, and all of this badassness starts at just $30 a month.
Oh, and they have the inflatable pillow. Is that what you said?
Yeah, inflatable pillow.
Yeah.
Oh, you get
self inflatable.
Yeah, and the new magazine, the American Survival.
Yes,
magazine.
And I subscribe to that. I love it.
They've shipped almost 1 million boxes and won Best Men's Subscription Box of 2017. Mm-hmm. Our listeners will get a free tactical knife when you sign up at trybattlebox.com/casualpreppers. That is trybattlebox.com/casualpreppers. Get your first battle box plus a free tactical knife at trybattlebox.com/casualpreppers. You have to use our code casualpreppers, and you have to go to that site, trybattlebox.com/casualpreppers. Cameron. Anyways.
I'm excited.
That was a fun episode.
Yeah, that was.
That was fun. I like that. That was butter dogs and blue balls. And
Those stories were...
You can't beat
it. They were just amazing.
Yeah.
That's terrifying. Nobody wants blue balls hovering in front of their face.
They really
Poor
don't.
Poor cows.
Oh.
Horses getting tormented.
And bored out buttholes and whatnot.
What? Like 8 inches deep, 6 inches wide?
Yeah.
What the crap?
That's horrible.
Let's sample this animal's butthole.
See how this tastes. Mm.
Oh.
Yeah, anyways.
I don't know. Kill those two cows over there. Shoot them in the eyeball.
No. Anyways, thanks, guys. Brand new podcast out next week. We got a fun one for you. We're pretty excited about it.
We do have a fun one.
So please make sure you've subscribed to the podcast. Please make sure you've shared with your friends. You've rated us on iTunes.
Yeah.
Please do
all
take
advantage of these sponsors, I'm telling you.
Oh, you got to. You got to take advantage of the sponsors. Anyways, Cam, anything else before we head out?
Nope. Just be careful out there. Mm-hmm. And if there's an animal running alongside your window, let it tap. Mm-hmm. It'll run off.
Yeah, beware the blue balls.
Yeah.
See you.